This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson here with Tim Marks on the board, Gracie on the phone lines, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in today. Welcome to Live the Promise, and a very happy Wednesday to you. My voice sounds a little dry and kind of raspy. I sound like a rock star sort of, don't I, Tim? Oh, you're not going to say that?
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but, you know.
Go ahead. You can say it.
Okay.
I sound like a rock star. All right. Really, though, I was up way past my bedtime last night. I like to hit the hay about 9 p.m. and get up kind of early. And but we were at our International Justice Mission benefit last night, and you heard us talk about this on the air a few times. And Tim, it was just such a powerful time. I want you to know we had almost 500 people show up, and people gave generously. And we heard stories of two girls who were rescued from the brothels, both who were tricked. Nice young girls were tricked and abducted and sold into human trafficking. And unbelievable what these girls went through. And they were rescued, and they're being restored, and they're smiling again. And so it's just an amazing thing to be a part of a cause that's so much bigger than yourself.
It's fabulous to see God working, isn't it? All around the world.
Yeah. And you need some of these heroes to face down the world's bullies. Yeah. So anyway, it was a powerful event. So those of you who were able to make it last night, thank you so much for joining us. It was a powerful event. And today we're talking about spiritually mismatched marriages. We've had Lynn on the show before, back when our show was a half hour, and we've barely scratched the surface on the topic. We had a lot of callers we couldn't get to, so we're going to readdress that today. But also, it is Wednesday, which means it's Book Giveaway Wednesday. In other words, every Wednesday we give a few books of mine away, compliments of Moody Publishers. And so in light of the topic, I'm giving away three copies of Alone in Marriage, Encouragement for the Times When It's All Up to You, as well as I think we have four copies of Lynn's great book, Winning Him Without Words. So we've got some awesome books for you today. And I want to tell you real quickly that I'll be on Focus on the Family again at the end of the month on May 31st to talk about the topic Alone in Marriage, so you can be sure to listen in. Well, I'm going to tell you about our guest, and we'll get her on the show, and we're going to open up the phone lines right away. Couple questions for you. Maybe you want to chime into the conversation. You're in a one-sided marriage, an unequally yoked marriage. You got questions about that? Or maybe you have advice because you've walked through it. What advice would you give someone who's in a spiritually mismatched marriage? Give us a call, 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. We've got a book for you. Probably the first seven callers will each get a book. So let me tell you about Lynn, and we'll get her on the show. Lynn Donovan is a compelling Bible study leader and a national speaker who writes for SpirituallyUnequalMarriage.com, the website she founded in 2006. She also contributes articles to several online venues specific to marriage. In addition, she works in women's ministries at her local church. Married since 1992, she lives in Temecula, California, with her husband Mike and their two children. Welcome to the show, Lynn. Glad to have you back with us again today.
Thank you, Susie. I am delighted to be here with you again. I enjoyed so much the show last time, and the callers, the questions were fantastic. I'm looking forward to talking again with your listeners and sharing the hope I have.
Well, and as I said, and we talked before the show, you have great hope, and you've got something to say, and you've got credibility about this topic, so it's a delight to have you. And I have to agree with you. You and I were talking before the show. We have great listeners. I was just telling my boss this the other day that the kinds of callers we get, these are just such sincerely devoted followers of Christ. I mean, they tune in because our whole bent is deeper life in Christ, and so they tune in because they want that, and so their calls and comments are always just stellar. So I'm blessed to have you listening today, and I'm blessed, Lynn, to have you with us. All right, so we like to start each show talking about a passage of Scripture, and you chose 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. If you don't mind, I'm going to read it, but then have you speak into it and share why this passage is the one you chose. Okay. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Talk to us about that verse.
You know, this verse is submission is so misunderstood in the Christian circle sometimes, and I have been walking my faith now and married to my unbelieving spouse for 19 years, and every year this verse proves itself more and more powerful in my own life, that submissiveness or respect for my husband, even when he doesn't believe in my Savior, and even when we have different worldviews, I have chosen, I've made the choice to love him with the love of Christ, to offer him respect, to agree to disagree at times, and to love him fully and leave the nagging out of it. And so this verse becomes very powerful because I don't even need to say anything. And it's the love of Christ that will eventually win my husband over. I am certain of it. I pray for him every day. And I have been, you know, a front row spectator on this journey of Christ pursuing my husband. And it's out of the love that Christ pours into my life that I pour into him, and it's out of respect, and it's not even speaking a word. He sees my life changed, utterly changed, through the power of Jesus Christ, and it's compelling, it's contagious, and that is what has made our marriage thrive. It's Christ alive and ignited in my life.
Hmm. You know, I remember what scripture it is, but it talks about that the gospel is the very power. It's not just talk. In fact, 1 Corinthians 4:20, that's what it is. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. And I think when you see the power of the gospel come to bear in a life that transforms it before someone's eyes, you can't even dispute that because it's right in front of you, you know?
You can't.
I mean, how
you
many
can't.
People have been debated into the kingdom? I don't think very many, you know?
Yeah, and I've tried that. It doesn't work.
Right, exactly. Well, tell us your story of faith and marriage. For those who didn't get to listen to you the first time we had you on, you've got quite a story. Tell us the whole testimony of you getting married and finding yourself in an unequally yoked marriage and then just your awakening to Christ.
Okay, certainly. I was raised in church. I went to church and I was a Sunday school girl growing up. My family went to church. I think I had more of a relationship with church then I really had a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. I knew who he was, but it just wasn't real, I think, enough for when I moved into my 20s and I fell away from my faith. I lived that typical prodigal years that unfortunately some of us have to go through. And it was in that prodigal time that I met my husband. You know, he was so different from me, and he had different beliefs and different thoughts I'd never considered, and he was intriguing, and he was handsome, and we married in that time when my faith was just stagnant. I didn't go to church. I didn't practice my faith. It really wasn't that important at the time. But it was about 3 years into my marriage, around the time we started to want to have children, and God started calling me home. He wooed me. He would not let go of me. He said, you are going to come home to me. And so about 3 years into our marriage, I ran home into the wide open arms of my father. But as I ran home, I was dragging along behind me my unbelieving spouse who was kicking and screaming all the way. He didn't want to have anything to do with this new man in my life. And thus, that's where our spiritual mismatch journey really got started. And we've been married, like I said, 19 years now, and we are thriving, we are happy, but boy, what a journey it's been. And it's miraculous and crazy and fun and difficult and trying all wrapped up together, but it's so worth it.
And you're so transparent in your book, and you give so much great advice, and so I really want to unpack that as we go. But the question begs to be asked, how does your husband handle your ministry to spiritually mismatched couples?
You know, I get asked that almost every time I go to speak, and I think this is a God thing. My husband is absolutely my number one cheerleader, and in fact, when I started writing about being spiritually mismatched, I went to him years ago, and I said, this is what I want to do. I want to help others, and he said, honey, if you can help anyone on the path behind us, you know, any other couple, so that they don't have to go through all the struggles we went through, then you go for it.
Mm.
And ever since that day, he has been my number one cheerleader. I treat him with a great deal of respect. I don't write anything I think that would, bring embarrassment or anything that he'd be uncomfortable about. If I think it might be, I take him the article and he reads it. But he has always been supportive. And even more so when we, you know, wrote this book. He's just amazing, and I think that is God working in and around my unbelieving spouse, and it's so neat to watch.
Well, I can hear the honor in your voice towards him, and boy, it makes me want to meet him, that's for sure. So I really bless you for that. Well, if you just tuned in today, I'm so glad you joined us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. My guest is Lynn Donovan. She wrote a great book, Winning Him Without Words, 10 Keys to Thriving in Your Spiritually Mismatched Marriage. We've got 4 copies to give away and a few copies of my book, Alone in Marriage. So give us a call if you want to chime into the conversation. Maybe you've learned something along the way about being in an unequally yoked marriage. You can be anonymous. And also, if you get one of these books, Lynn's or my book, and you're not comfortable with having it on your end table at home, neither one of us would mind if you put duct tape on the cover. I have several women's book clubs who've told me, we read your book as a study, but we use our husband's duct tape to cover up. I'm like, whatever it takes, right?
Right.
Yeah, so give us a call, 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Lynn, you wrote that your husband's unbelief has actually been a catalyst to your vibrant faith, and that's an amazing statement, so I'd love for you to unpack that a little bit.
I think when I married him, like I said, I'd fallen away from my faith. I had a very superficial faith. That's probably likely why I did go prodigal. And I married a very intellectual man. And as God started wooing me back, I'm trying to tell my husband about Jesus and the Bible. And he would ask the really, really hard questions. And I didn't have the answers. And so I went to find out. I started actually reading the Bible, and I learned what my faith was really about. And you know what? When you start reading the Bible, God starts working in you. Mm. And so I think I have been blessed in a way that my faith is not superficial. It is a deep, vibrant faith, and it's because of my unbelieving spouse. His questions, his wanting answers pushed me to really understand my faith intellectually, but it also put it deep into my heart and my soul. And I am thankful for that, because I don't know that I would have been pushed like that in any other way.
Well, if you think, if you even have a mutually, you know, Christian marriage, but neither person is really actively pursuing God, you can have a false sense of security there, where I think you're subject to great temptation. And so this kind of tension isn't always the worst thing, because it propels you to holiness, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. It compels you to pray like you've never prayed before. It was his unbelief absolutely was the catalyst to change my life, to ignite my faith in Jesus, and to really understand who I was as a believer and as a believing wife. And I am very, very thankful that I've had this opportunity to really know Christ, even if it's had to be with my unbelieving spouse and some of the unique struggles that come along with that. Mm-hmm. For me, this is the path God chose, and it's been wonderful.
Well, you have found a way to thrive in it, and that's really the message that I even tried to. My book's a little different. It's for people, they can be equally yoked or unequally yoked, but it's those one-sided seasons of marriage where even if you are both believers, life does that ebb and flow thing, and one of the spouses is carrying more of the weight, but you know what I'm saying? And then the emotions come up, loneliness, anger, fear, worry, those kinds of things.
Right.
But even in that situation, you can thrive when you get a hold of God and his best mm-hmm. will. And that's what you're really talking about, that you don't have to wait for your husband to get saved, to find joy, to find even a good marriage.
Right, right. You know, so many things with your book, a common thread when you're unequally yoked is you feel lonely. There is this season that you arrive in, just like you said, where, wait a minute, I'm growing closer to God. My husband doesn't want to have anything to do with him. And you're in this weird place, and it's a lonely time. And I have found that is across the board one of the big issues in an unequally yoked marriage. And that is when you even press deeper into God and into the love of Christ. And he pulls you out of that loneliness, and you're able to overcome it and love your husband in spite of, you know, those feelings.
Mm-hmm. Well, talk to that woman who's maybe in the situation that you described being in at the worst part of your unequally yoked season. What's the first thing that she should do?
The first thing a woman in an unequally yoked marriage, she needs to find out she is not alone. And there is a community of believers who are unequally yoked. Amazingly, there's a lot of us. I've come to find out, Susie, there's so many, men and women. And we do have an active online community where you can share life that's and the unique struggles, the unique challenges, and the victories online, which is our website, that would be the Spiritually Unequal Yoked Marriage at .com, and we help each other there. You need to get involved with a Christian community, and mostly, again, you know, ignite your relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the very first step, and when you do that, you're stepping out onto a journey where you're walking shoulder to shoulder with other believers who know what it feels like to be married to an unbeliever. You have a support team, and you have Jesus that's standing there with all of us.
And the thing is, you can be made more like Christ. You will be made more like Christ in this process as you press into him in this difficult situation, won't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I learned just from the research I did on my book is that women in this day, Christian women, are walking out of their marriages at an unprecedented rate. And they're either checking out or they're getting out. So they're saying, okay, you're doing this, I'm doing my thing. So I'm staying, but I'm totally disengaged with you, or I'm walking away. And you're saying, wrap your arms around the Lord, wrap your arms around your husband, and fully engage, aren't you?
Absolutely. Oh, it grieves me that you're absolutely right on the statistics, but you can love Christ and love your husband. They do change over time. It's irresistible. If you are no longer glum and angry, and you are able to forgive your husband for some of the things, that starts to show in your everyday living and your character and your kindness towards your husband. He cannot resist that over time. And I absolutely believe that is the power of God working through you and into your husband's life.
Yeah, that is the kingdom of God in all its power. That's amazing. Well, we want to hear from you. Boy, you're quiet today. This isn't typical. We've got Gracie very busy on the phone lines. She's back there knitting right now. Okay, she's really not.
Yeah, we had a really great question. 877-933-2484,
877-933-2484. Our producer asked if you would list your website one more time.
Spiritually Unequally.
She doesn't know her website. I'm
marriage.com.
And one more time.
Yeah, let's get that right. SpirituallyUnequalMarriage.com. And we have our book website, Winning Him Without Words, which has some really unique features there and some freebies to help people on this journey as they walk through the book with us.
So if they go to winninghimwithoutwords.com, is there a link to Spiritually Unequally?
Yes, there is.
Okay. Because I'm gonna mess that one up myself. So winninghimwithoutwords.com will get you where you need to go. That's good. All right. Well, I loved this quote from your book. Instead of putting on the label of martyr in a spiritually mismatched marriage, we need to put on the label of missionaries. We need to think of ourselves as soldiers on the front lines of our marriage. That was brilliant. I would love for you to speak to that a little bit.
You know, I think so many times women discover they're spiritually mismatched. They're frustrated because they've tried everything to manipulate their husband to come to Christ, and it's not working. And then all of a sudden, this whole marriage becomes a huge burden. It's their cross to bear. And that is absolutely not what God wants for us. Our marriage is someplace to thrive, to enjoy intimacy. And you've got to move, you know, from being the victim into being a missionary. This is your mission field. There are eternities at stake. There is your husband's salvation. We are here to choose where we're going to live the rest of our eternity. And perhaps God has you in this very marriage for his salvation, your children's salvation. You have to get away from, oh, poor me, I'm the victim, to like, this is my mission field. I am, you know, a soldier for Christ, and I am going to love you like you've never been loved before. What a difference that makes in a marriage. And that is the beginning of thriving right there.
That's so good. And I think the entitlement and the wealth that we've experienced in our country has not really helped us that much, if I can say that, because we aren't used to struggling and not getting our way and getting what we want when we want it. But I even think of, you know, persecuted Christians in the past. They've loved their captors. Talk about people who've brutally abused them, and God has done something in their hearts to say that person is not saved. And they've actually washed the feet of some of their captors and seen the supernatural kingdom come to bear and people get saved. I mean, we have a capacity for love with Jesus in us that's so much greater than we know, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I think a lot of times early in the marriages, people don't really understand that. They don't think it's possible that Christ can supernaturally love you and love your spouse. And it, you're right. Miracles happen. I have seen it. I mm-hmm. have seen marriages saved. I have seen people come to Christ. One day it will be my husband, too, and I'll have to call you on the phone and say, this was the day he got baptized.
You have to call us. You have to interrupt the show if you have to. I want to hear from
but
you.
You know, I absolutely believe that. It's just going to be in his timing. Mm. And we have to move out of that poor me syndrome and, like, let's love our families. We have an eternity. If you struggle and you have pain, which we all do, and they're hurt, you take that to Christ. He
That's
is
right.
big enough to carry it.
You know, when I was walking through my one-sided season in my marriage, a man of God, but a workaholic for a few years, and he was pretty absent. I'll be honest, I was so tempted to drop a red sock in with all of his white clothes when I was washing them. I was mad. I was like,
sure.
I've tried. But I mean, I wanted to give him the rubbery piece of chicken. I had all kinds of things that were legal that weren't nice. And but when I got with the Lord and he's like, you die to that and you love him. When I extended love when it didn't work for me, I experienced something of the gospel in my life that was so otherworldly. And that is what we're called to. The calls are starting to come in, and I just want you to know we're going to take Kelly here in just a second, but we're going to break in about a few minutes. But I want to hear from y'all. So give us a call, 877-933-2484. And Kelly, if we have to start with your question and then pick it up at the other side of the break, we're going to do that. But I want to hear from you. Kelly, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling. What's your testimony or question today?
Well, I was just calling because I find myself in a very similar position as to what you're talking about today, and I guess I was just looking for some motivation maybe or advice as far as, you know, how you keep dealing with it day to day. I think my biggest struggle is the fact that, you know, my other half here that's unbelieving, I think he has a very hard time dealing with it, I guess. I think he feels lonely because we're not on the same page. And I don't know how to, you know, I pray for him all the time. And, you know, I want nothing more, obviously, than for him to know Jesus and experience that. I just, it's almost harder on him than it is on me. I don't know what to do.
Well, great question. Go ahead, Lynn. What do you have to say?
Oh, Kelly, I want to reach through the radio and hug you. I have lived exactly where you're at. And, yes, our spouses struggle with some of the same things. They're on the flip side. But they don't have a source, which is Jesus, for us to, you know, for them to turn to. And what really struck me when you were speaking is that how can you change this disconnect? It sounds like there's a bit of a disconnect because of your spiritual differences. And in the book, we talk about how to be purposeful and intentional about connecting with your husband. And I think, Susie, I shared this with you before in the last interview where, you know, I decided to start playing fantasy football
mm-hmm.
with my husband. And that
And I told awesome. You that makes you a great catch.
I didn't know a thing about it. And, Kelly, there is something that your husband likes to do, and he would respect you immensely, and it would show great love. You figure out what he likes to do and join him.
Mm.
Find out something that you can do together. Be intentional. Take time to spend time with him. It's so important for them. It shows love. It shows respect. And if I can learn to play fantasy football, there's whatever your husband's hobbies or interests are, you can join in. It speaks volumes just by you participating, and you don't even say a word specific, I'm doing this to show you love, I'm doing this to show you respect, I'm doing this to show you Jesus. He just sees that you are loving on him in a very intentional way, and it surprises them in the beginning, and they're like, is this for real? But you just keep at it, whatever your activity is or however you're being intentional, you keep at it. Ask Jesus to give you strength and wisdom and to love on him through this, and you watch, it changes. It changes him, it'll change you, and it will help you reconnect in a very positive and powerful way.
Excellent advice. And he was actually surprised. I mean, he knew you weren't into football. He saw that you did that. I mean, that spoke volumes to him, didn't it?
It did. And we have an absolute blast now. I go to church, I come home, warm up the laptop, and we watch football in the fall, and we cheer each other on, and we tease each other. What a fun time. And it's a great way that we have connected, and I can't wait for every season for football to get started.
Oh, I love that. That's amazing. Well, the calls are now coming in. We're so glad. Jim called, and he was on hold, and he said 1 Corinthians 7:12 applies here. I'm going to look that up on the other side of the break. And in a moment, we're going to talk about the 10 keys to thriving in spiritually mismatched marriage. These 10 keys are incredible advice. We're going to kind of unpack them one at a time if we can, but we want to also get to your calls. So if you want to chime into the conversation, you got a question for our guests, we can stand with you in prayer. We would love to do that. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. And I'm sitting here paging through the Bible, and you can hear it, so I should do it during the break. So I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Lynn Donovan. We've got a book for you if you get on the air, Winning Him Without Words, 10 Keys to Thriving in Your Spiritually Mismatched Marriage, and 3 copies of my book, Alone in Marriage. We want you part of this conversation. This is a definite deeper life conversation because it's all about faith, bringing faith to your marriage. You can thrive and a spiritually unequally matched marriage. It's an amazing thing. That's the kingdom of God for you right there. Well, we're taking a short break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Susie Larson here. This is Live the Promise. We're having a great conversation with Lynn Donovan. Winning Him Without Words is her book. We've got 4 copies to give away and 3 copies of my book, Alone in Marriage. We're talking about spiritually mismatched marriages. We want you to chime in. I see a few calls coming in there. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. So, Lynn, Jim called from Madison, and he gave this passage. I'd love for you to speak to this. This is really great. 1 Corinthians 7:12-14. To the rest, I say this, I, not the Lord, he says. If any brother has a wife who's not a believer and she's willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who's not a believer and he's willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean. But as it is, they are holy. What do you think of that passage?
I love that passage. I wish I had the Message translation of these words. I know I have it in the book, but absolutely, this speaks to our marriages specifically. We are married to an unbeliever. And like I said before, salvation, eternities are at stake, first of all. And if our husband is willing to live with us and we can love on him and show him Christ, that is our first calling. But on top of it, it's our prayer life. It's our relationship that is sanctifying and bringing holiness and blessing into these kinds of marriages. And one of the big struggles that I think people have when they're married to an unbeliever is they feel guilt that they sinned, or they married this unbeliever and now they have to bear this burden like we talked about, and they need to lose that guilt. They need to know that if you are praying with God's holy power and you are inviting him into your marriage and into your home every day, he is going to bless you. He's going to bless your family. He's going to protect you from the enemy. He is going to help your children thrive. He is waiting for us to just pray him throughout our house and to welcome him into our home. And that is what sanctification is all about. We are bringing the blessing in our marriage because we are the believer.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I thought you were done.
No, go ahead.
That is so important what you just said, because, as with any other choice, let's say we're walking away from the Lord, and you married somebody who wasn't saved, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. And you sure could see how the enemy would put a heavy blanket of condemnation saying, you know, what you reap is what you sow. This is as good as it gets, you know. And the thing is, the scripture does say what you reap is what you sow. But you reap seeds of faith. You sow seeds of faith in your unequally yoked marriage. You're going to reap something great. And so I think it is so important. And one, that's one of your steps is about blessing your marriage.
Right.
The calls are coming in, and so we're going to intermittently take those, and then we'll get through your 10 steps. And I know we're going to run out of time. I just know it. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Rose from Chicago City. I got it out there. Welcome to the show, Rose.
Hi.
I don't know why I stumbled over Chicago City. It's not that hard to say. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Okay, and you are in an unequally yoked marriage?
Yes, and I have been for 29 years.
Oh, bless you.
I was unsaved. I got saved after we got married. And at first, I think that I did feel sorry for myself. It's like, why me, Lord? Why am I the one that's in this marriage? And, you know, why couldn't my husband get saved just like other people's husbands get saved? But now, after so many years, I do look at it as he is my mission field. And so I just pray for him on a regular basis and try to be that loving spouse that God wants me to be, and working on myself and just trying to be the best that I can be. So I wanted to share that with you. So often when programs are on the radio, they are talking to couples who are both saved, and so it's kind of refreshing just to have someone talk to the unequally yoked and give us a chance just to share or to get some other information so that we know what we can do. I mean, there's always something we can learn to improve our relationship. So,
well, Rose, I appreciate your testimony so much. And I would love to know this, and maybe Lynn, you'll have a question for her as well, but how has your walk with the Lord been impacted by you learning to love your spouse?
Can you repeat that? I missed a little portion of your question.
Yeah. How has your relationship with Jesus been impacted by learning to walk with your husband and love and respect him?
Oh, I've just grown so much. I mean, he's taken me just such a long way in my relationship with him, because I have to depend on him each and every day. And
yeah.
I don't understand how my husband actually goes on in life without the Lord. I just feel bad for him that he doesn't have the Lord to draw on just because of his disinterest in the things of the Lord.
Wow.
So it strengthened me greatly.
Well, we bless you for your testimony and for the way that you've walked it out, and you'll for sure get a book. So please make sure that you give Gracie your address. The calls are coming in, so if you don't mind hanging on, we'll get you a book, definitely. We've got Lynn calling from Moorhead. She's got a question for you, Lynn.
Okay.
Question about her daughter's relationship. Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. My question is concerning my daughter. She, after having a couple not so very good relationships with Christian guys, is now dating a very nice young atheist guy. And I am just checking to see if you might have any, if you ever talk to people who are just in a dating relationship with an unbeliever, what advice do you give them, or what do you tell them?
Oh, that is a great question. And, Lynn, I have a teenage daughter, and believe me, we have lots of conversations about dating because that's right around the corner for her. I think you need to set those, you need to have a very frank conversation with your daughter, and you can do that in a very loving way. And if you're unequally yoked, you've lived it. You know what it's like to be married to someone that doesn't share their faith. And you need to encourage her to think through, is this somebody you're dating that this is marriage potential? And perhaps this is something that she needs to work out. You know, is she willing to live her whole life that way? And everything that I write, I encourage single Christians to not marry someone outside of your faith, because it's very scriptural, first of all.
But they don't know what they're even getting themselves into, because it's not a small thing.
They don't.
Right.
And I didn't either. And see, I thought, he'll come along and, you know, just a couple years, he'll become a believer, no problem. Okay, 19 years later, it still hasn't happened. And look at Rose. She's 29 years. And the struggles are real. I had to go through some very intense struggles and some unhappy years to get to this thriving place. And as a mom, we need to help them see what happens when you have children. What are you going to do when you want to take your five-year-old to Sunday school and dad says no? What are you going to do if you want to read the Bible and he has, you know, a fit over it? And what are you going to do with all these scenarios they don't think about? And as parents, that's what we're there to help them say, take a look at this. And I understand you had a bad relationship, you know, because people aren't perfect. But this is what marriage is going to look like. And before you get too far into it, let's stop and talk about it and see if this is the right direction.
Good advice. And Lynn, I, you know, one of my sons was dating a girl that I just knew was not a believer. She was professing, but everything around her life spoke otherwise. And I just say this, don't underestimate the power of intense fasting and prayer.
Amen.
I'm telling you what, I was on my face going, oh, Lord, deliver him from his commitment to mediocrity. Can I just say that out loud? But I'm like, you are so settling in this relationship. But he was old enough where I couldn't push it too hard. And I fasted and prayed. And it just sort of came to the surface, was exposed for what it was. And he's like, I can't believe I didn't see that. And praise God. I mean, God intervened. So I can't say enough about that.
Amen. We need to be praying for our kids every day by name.
Like never before. Like never before.
Pray for the future spouse. Pray for the in-laws.
Well, Josh McDowell says, outside of your decision for Christ, the most important decision you can make is who you marry. And so, yes, we need to be praying that for our kids like crazy. In fact, we could talk about, do a whole show, Lynn, on our kids and their dating lives and our prayers for them. So we would love to hear from you. We've got about 10 minutes or so left to take your calls, 877-933-2484. We've got Megan from Beaver Dam would love for us to stand with her today. Welcome to the show, Megan.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
We're doing well.
Good. So I'm actually calling because I guess I more or less need prayer because I've had some struggles with my husband, and I've realized that really it's only something that God can do. I can't make him believe what I believe or see what I see. And the reason why I say that is because we recently went through some things that were really incredibly devastating to us. And we've been really good Christians and, you know, enjoyed a pretty good life until this happened. We lost his dad to life in prison, and we lost our three kids. Mm-hmm. And just kind of all of this happened all at the same time unexpectedly. And so I basically fell into God's arms and just cried out to Jesus every day, and my faith grew stronger. And on the other side of the fence is my husband, who tipped over that way, and he's just like, God can't be here, and I don't believe in it anymore, and I'm going to fill those spaces with whatever I can get my hands on, you know, whether it be looking for other women or smoking or doing drugs or whatever it may be. And so, you know, it just clashed so much that he actually left me. And I know now that we want nothing more, him and I, to mend this marriage, but it's the spiritual warfare within, I see a lot around him because he's on that other side of the fence that, that just keeps pushing it apart, you know?
You have been through so much, Megan. I just love that you cared enough to reach out even to have us pray for you. Lynn, I wonder if you want to speak to her and then we could pray for her.
Oh, Megan, I just wrap my arms around you. The pain of this world, and you said what it was. It's spiritual warfare. And we can't discount the fact that when we are in this kind of a marriage, we are doing spiritual warfare, and it's intense. There are, like I said, salvation's at stake, eternity's at stake, and the enemy knows you know Jesus, and he will throw whatever he can in front of you, around you, at your children, at your spouse, to devastate. But you know what? This is right when God Almighty comes up, and he will pick you up, and he will pick up your husband. He's angry, and you just pray like you've never prayed before. Lord, you know, bind the enemy from around my husband. Surround him with believers. Show him light. let him give his anger over to you. Those are the kind of prayers. Pray with fervor and passion, asking the Lord to reach into him. He will not let go. You keep praying for him, and you cling to Jesus right now in this very hard time, because he's obviously got some amazing work to show you, some supernatural stuff probably mm-hmm. to fill you up and give you hope and show you how he will take this devastation and he will replace what the locusts have eaten.
Yeah.
And he will bless you immensely, and you will grow so close to him. And I just I admire you that you see Jesus even in the middle of all of this that has happened.
Well, let's both pray for her, Megan. I mean, Lynn, can we do that? Can we pray for Megan? Sure. You go ahead, and then I'll pray after that.
Oh, Lord God, I just lift up Megan before your throne with Jesus at her side. I ask you to embrace her, to show her a love more powerful than she's ever seen from you, Jesus, to lean fully into you. I commit to you her marriage. I commit to you her husband. Fight the battles for his soul, Lord. Let him see that the only hope for this world is Jesus. Give him, let him give his anger over to you, Lord, and love on them both in a powerful way. Restore their relationship to you.
Father, I agree. And we come together. We even, there's a listening audience, we come together and lift our sister Megan up and her marriage up to you. And Jesus, we ask that you restore, as Lynn said, restore what the enemy has taken. Restore their children to them. Restore their marriage. Father, restore their hope and their faith and their love for you and for each other. And Lord, you said in your word that a smoldering wick you'll not snuff out and a flickering flame, a bruised reed you'll not break, and that your hands are cupped around her as fragile and vulnerable as she feels right now. You are going to cover her. You're going to protect her. You're going to pull her to your side. And Jesus, would you be that hound of heaven and go after her husband and draw him in, renew his perspective. And Lord, we do ask that the enemy's schemes would be exposed in their midst and that they would see clearly your beautiful plan for their lives. Lord, there's nothing the enemy can't come against us with that you don't have a better counterattack. So would you issue that now? Would you save them and restore them and bless them in Jesus' name?
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, we're going to take Laura from Minneapolis, and then we're going to talk a few more things about your book here, Lynn. Laura, welcome to the show.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm good, thank you.
Good. What, you have a comment for us?
Oh, yeah, and I was like, you were talking about choosing your words wisely, so I thought, how do I put this? What happened is I fell in love with someone who wasn't a Christian, and then I met someone who said they were a Christian, and they told me, you know, you're not supposed to be unequally yoked. And then next thing they said, you could be my wife. And then I didn't even know that they were a Christian. And then what I got to how to put it is, it's worse to be with a false Christian and then trying to force you to be with them. And then coming in the church as a wolf than it is to be with someone you love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I know some women who married men who, just because they wanted to be with the girl, they said, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. And I know one gal specifically said, I wish I would have, you know, employed more discernment. But sometimes, don't you think, Lynn, we almost check that off in the box. You know, I see this a lot. I have such a heart for 20-somethings because they feel that they need to have a plan. So sometimes they'll latch onto a plan, whether it be a career, a spouse, so that they can have a plan. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Versus waiting for God's best. So maybe talk about that. Speak to the 20-somethings who maybe are possibly settling right now.
You know what? That is such a great thing to talk about, because I have a lot of those readers that come to our website, and a lot of them, exactly like you said, Susie, they want a plan. They are afraid that they're not going to get married, and they settle, and they don't look for what is God's best. And I think that just is a product of they're rushed, they're busy, and they don't have time to sit and pray and ask God, show me. And one of the things I like to tell young women is to write out your dream list of what this Christian man is going to be and present it to God and say, Lord, this is what I'm looking for. When you know this man, and would you help me to see him when he comes into my life?
Mm-hmm.
And help me to recognize the qualities that are godly qualities. Help me to discern his faith. And then you need to really have those conversations. And I absolutely recommend, you know, counseling before marriage to make sure you're on the same page. I wish I had had counseling before marriage.
Absolutely. You know, I prayed for a full year before I met my husband. I prayed for his work ethic, his walk of faith. I actually prayed about his sense of humor because it's very important to me to laugh. And, I mean, I really brought all those things, just as you're saying, before the Lord. And I'm telling you what, that matters. That paves the way.
Sure does.
To have a healthy, godly marriage. Well, we haven't even gotten into your 10 steps, so we're going to have you back in July to talk about your 10 keys. We might be able to touch on a few before the end of the show, but one thing I really wanted to touch on is I travel around as a speaker, and I know you've seen this as well. The women who get stuck in the unhappy marriage are the ones who hash and rehash their disappointment in their spouse. They project that disappointment into the future. Well, if this has happened, I just know he's going to do this, or I know it's going to work out this way, and they project an unhappy future, and they get into ingratitude. And oftentimes, when you talk to these women, you ask more questions. They've got beautiful kids. They've got a hubby who goes to work every day. He's not perfect, but he's coming home. He's paying the bills. He loves God. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And so I think that this is really a ping pong of disappointment that needs to be addressed. And, you know, I want to walk lightly because I know that people will say, you don't know the kind of disappointment I've experienced. True. But I think disappointment can move you away from your divine appointment. So let's talk about that for a minute.
You bet. I think that that's the Cinderella syndrome. A lot of us grow up thinking we're going to marry Prince Charming and it's going to be perfect. It's not perfect. We're marrying imperfect men. But we cling on to those disappointments and they become bitterness. And that is what is going to destroy the love relationship. We need to see our men through God's eyes. One of the most powerful prayers I've prayed is, Lord, let me see my husband through your eyes. Let me see the qualities that he has that are good. And I've even, in the book, suggest that you write a list of all those positive qualities about your husband. You need to focus on those. And you'll be surprised how many neat things your husband, you know, is all about. And let go of that disappointment. You cannot cling on to it. And I don't know any way to let go of that without the power of God.
Mm.
And you turn it over to God and say, I'm mad about this, God. I'm very angry. I'm very hurt. And you know what? I prayed those prayers in the early years. And I gave them over with tears to the Lord, and he scooped them up, and he released me from that bitterness
so that we could
thrive.
Well, I think it's important to know that our disappointment is not our license, that there is even accountability in our pain. As believers in Christ, there should be some boundaries around the way that we process things. And, Lynn, I think I talked to you about this when you were on last time, but when I was in college, one of my professors, if you ever remember the show Cheers, and Lilla Stern and Crane with the big tight bun on, you remember her?
Uh-huh.
That's exactly what this professor looked like. And she was sharing about how she lived in one state and her husband lived across the country in another state. And I raised my hand. I'm like, how does that work? And she said, we both, our careers come first, marriage second. And she said, in fact, ladies, this is a good time to say this to you. She said, if ever your love for your mate gets in the way of your potential in your career, she talked about a book about how to fall out of love with your mate. She said, if you love him, but there's one thing that bugs you, focus on that one thing. And before you know it, you'll be out of love and it'll be make it easy to walk away. And my jaw was dropped. I'm like, really? Are you telling us this? But the opposite is true. It's like where we put our minds. You know, we all have reasons to say thank you. All have reasons to celebrate things, even in our spouses, don't we?
We can always make a choice. Choose to love. Choose to trust Jesus. Choose to see the good in your spouse. Choose to love him. Choose to see him as loved by Jesus. It's our choice. You can choose to be unhappy or you can choose to thrive in the love of God.
Well, what about that woman? I'm sorry, I thought you were done there. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What about the woman who says, I'm going to wait to get into community, Christian community. I want to wait for my husband. There's a little bit of flaw in that thinking, isn't there?
There is, and that's a good point. I think I wasted several years where I could have been serving the kingdom of God because I thought I had to wait for my husband. You know, the Christian community is often a lot about couples. And so how could I serve if I'm not a couple? That is flawed thinking. And one day I heard a speaker say, it's okay if you want to serve the Lord, serve the Lord. You just pray for your husband and you go on and do it. You don't, you know, don't overserve so you're neglecting your marriage. But you don't need to wait on your husband to come to faith before you can give back to the community of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when I took that into my soul, I found freedom and the ability to help others, and that's the rich reward that comes, you know, out of my spiritually unequal marriage.
is I've been able to help others, even though my spouse still is unsaved today.
Well, you struck such a balance in your book. I appreciate it so much because I've seen two extremes. Women either wait, go, I'm not going to do anything till he goes with me and leads the way, or I'm going to build such a wall around my heart, I'm going to do whatever I want because my Christian faith is so important. But you're really negating your witness in your own home, where I felt like you had a humility and a flexibility, where you still served and engaged, but you flexed and listened to him at times, too. We only have a couple minutes left, but strike that balance for the listener today.
You know what? That is a really good point. You have to have that balance. There are times when I always want to get up on a Sunday morning and go to church. I love to go worship. I love to be in the congregation with like-minded people. But there are times it's important to my husband that we need to go do something on a Sunday morning. So on occasion, you know, I'll skip church and we go do something together. That is the kind of daily striking the balance where you're showing love and respect to your husband. And God understands that, and he honors that within my life and my marriage. So I think it's those kind of choices where you decide, I'm not going to overserve, I'm not going to neglect my husband, but I am going to serve the kingdom and enjoy what all those the gifts out there God has for me when you do serve.
Mm. Again, what I hear consistently in your message is this step-by-step walk of faith with the Lord, minding the nudges, doing what he says. And, you know, he leads us in the way that we should go, doesn't he?
Amen.
Mm. Well, this has been great. And we didn't even touch on your 10 keys. So I want to get you back in July. And we're going to get through those one of these days. But as we wrap up, I would love for you to pray for that person listening right now who's in the spiritually mismatched marriage and feeling kind of despairing, but you know, that they would be imparted some hope today.
All right. Lord Jesus, I know there are people listening, and for the first time they may sense a glimmer of hope that you have been calling to them, that you can live in a marriage where you honor and love your husband and live and thrive in the love of Jesus. I ask right now, Father, for you to just wrap your arms around those people listening who need that glimmer of hope. Tell them that you are standing there waiting to answer their prayers. Love on them in a passionate way. Let them know there's others out there to help them. And, Father, do the miraculous in their life and their marriage. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Lynn, it's so great to be with you today. And I would love for you to give our listeners your website one more time.
Okay. WinningHimWithoutWords.com.
Easy enough. WinningHimWithoutWords.com. The other one's not so easy, but why don't you say it? It's easy for you. I just can never say it. Spiritually, what is it again?
SpirituallyUnequalMarriage.com.
Try to say that three times.
Yeah.
Okay, the title of the book, Winning Him Without Words, 10 Keys to Thriving in Your Spiritually Mismatched Marriage. We so appreciate your heart and your ministry, Lynn, and definitely want to get you back in July. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susie. I enjoyed it so much. Thank you.
Great to be with you. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. I want you to know we are assembling a whole new team of Faith Radio contributors, and we're getting great blog posts on our website. So I want you to check it out, faithradionet.com. And while you're there, kind of just look around. We've got so many past shows of powerful guests that you, with a click of a button, can send to a friend. In fact, this one, I know you know somebody in a spiritually unequally yoked marriage. And with a click of a button, you can tweet this show, you can Facebook it, you can email it to a friend, and it doesn't cost you a thing. So you're giving some deep content, some great equipping information, and encouragement to someone in need. So just do that by going to our website, faithradionet.com. I want you to tune in tomorrow for Live the Promise. My guest is pastor and author Bob Merritt. We're going to talk about his new book, When Life's Not Working, 7 Simple Choices for a Better Tomorrow. Don't miss it. That's going to be a great, great show. Well, we're excited to have this time with you today, and I wish you a beautiful and wonderful afternoon. And guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Whether you're married or not, some of the takeaways from today I want you to take with you is be grateful in the moment. Trust God in the moment. Don't rehash your disappointments. Look forward to that divine appointment because God is always doing a new thing, and he wants you with him on this journey. Have a blessed and wonderful afternoon.